This is F1 Indie Girls with Soraya and Sherelle. We are two girls who love Formula One and IndyCar. This is our Indy 500 race and our experience at the race recap. I don't think we have any news to start anything off.
I was going to say we will get a Monaco podcast out at some point, but it might have to wait a little bit. We've got a lot going on after getting back from the 500, and we have not watched it at all yet, so it'll come out eventually.
Might come out next week. No, because we have three podcasts next week. It might just come out later this week. It'll be okay. We'll figure it out.
It'll come out eventually.
But yeah, we got back yesterday, and to say the least, we were completely exhausted. We had a really long day. I think it ended up being like 5 hours of sleep in like 35 hours-ish of being awake. So like not very much sleep in for 2 days. So we're exhausted. But the race was so much fun. I loved being there. Mm-hmm. It was just so much fun. When I got there, I was so excited. It made me so happy. I was like, oh, joy.
Yeah. I'm like watching the Indy 500. Like I've watched it on TV before. It's great. But the experience of being there in person and just the energy that is there is incredible. Like, yeah. I don't have any other words for it. It's just like nothing else. I've been to other races, but being there at the 500 is like nothing I've experienced before.
Like, I've only been to one other race, but it literally... Sorry, I'm really tired. It's just nothing compared to the 500, the atmosphere, the amount of people are there, the like build up that IndyCar and the drivers just like give the 500 the whole month of May is just like it. There's so much. And I don't know. It was one of my favorite things ever. Definitely crossed off my bucket list now. It's been so much fun.
The thing is, like, now that I've been once, I want to go again. Like, I see why people have, you know, tickets that they've had for years because, you know, they just renew every year. And they've been going, you know, for like 50 or so years. Because it is such an incredible experience. You know, just the crowd and the drivers and just everything about it. You know, the build up to the race as they do the, you know, they've got the national anthem and they have different, like, they did a video about, you know, Memorial Day, and, you know, they sing Back Home again in Indiana, just all the buildup around it.
All of the like tradition that you can see from the very first Indy 500 that they still do years. And I mean years later, like they still do the same thing. It just shows how important this event is for not only the drivers, but just for the fans who've been here forever. It was honestly a dream come true. I've said that once already, but it's honestly a dream come true. It was so much fun.
Mm-hmm. you go ahead.
I don't remember what I was going to say.
Okay. But I was going to say, so before we get into like the details of the race, just some things we were going to talk about first. So we obviously had Kyle Larson, who was going for the double. So basically, he was going to drive the Indy 500. Right after that, get on a helicopter to go to the airport, to get on a plane, to go to another helicopter, to get to do Charlotte, to do the Coca-Cola 600. So 1,100 miles total. But Indiana... Indianapolis weather is not always the most predictable, and in Kyle Larson's case, the worst possible thing happened, and about 30 minutes before the green flag was supposed to be at 11:45. Not 11:45, 12:45. We got rain. Not just a little bit of rain.
4 hours worth of rain.
It downpoured for the
hour. For 4 hours.
It was quite, and like, so like heavy, like, we were soaked.
We were so wet.
Like, we waited out at the track for a good,
I think 2 hours.
Like, yeah, 2 hours. Then we finally went to the car, just kind of get a little bit drier.
And to sit somewhere comfortable. Yeah,
and sit, you know, in a comfortable car instead of either standing or sitting.
Actually, I think we were there for like an hour and a half. Because it took us 30 minutes to get back to the car.
Yeah. And so at about 3 o'clock, no, I don't remember what time we headed back to the track.
Three.
I think it was about 3 we headed back to the track. They announced that at 4:45 we would have, I guess, yeah, 3:44.
No, at 4:44 the green flag was going to go off.
4:44, green flag.
Not 45.
And we'd get the race going. So we got back to the track. We're able to watch the, you know, kind of build up to the race. And then, obviously, with a lot of rain, the track gets cleaned from all the rain. And they lose all that buildup of rubber that they had. So basically, green track with no running on it. And we're, you know, getting ready to start the 500. So they're able to get the, I mean, they brought out the NASCAR dryers and were able to get the track dry in time to get it going. As they were doing the, so they do the 4, like, kind of warm-up laps behind the pace car. I guess, is it 3 or 4? And then, three warm-up laps and then the formation lap.
Yeah.
Well, during that time, Callum Ilott had an issue with his car and had to come into the pits. They were able to get it fixed to an extent and send it back out. But that means he lost his starting position and had to start from the very back. But then on to the green flag. We then had, obviously, the three Penske's started up front. They stayed there. Ferrucci made his way to 4th. And then going into lap 1, what happened, Soraya?
Hold on, give me... Okay, sorry. My computer was glitching out.
And turn this was line. Like, mind you, all right in front of us because we were sitting... Yeah.
We sat in between turn 1 and turn 2.
Like the exit of turn 1 is where
we were at. And start of turn 2 is kind of where we were at. So we got to see a lot, honestly. But Tom Blomqvist hits low and spun. And then because he was spinning, Ericsson was trying to miss him. So then Ericsson hits Blomqvist as he's spinning. And it was, oh, and then Fittipaldi also got hit and spun out.
Yeah, so Callum Ilott was passing Fittipaldi, and they were pretty, like, right together, but it did kind of hit into Fittipaldi, sent him into the wall. So turn 1, lap 1, we have 3 drivers out of the race. And obviously they have to bring out the caution and get the track cleared, which takes a few laps.
Yeah.
And before you know it, they go green and then Marcus Ericsson has a problem with his engine, bringing out another caution. But under this caution, we have multiple drivers who decide to go and pit. So you've got Connor Daly.
So annoyed.
Stingray Robb. Christian Lundgaard. Graham Rahal. There might have been a few other ones, but those were like the most, like, the ones I remember.
I don't think there was anyone else.
And so those were kind of like the big ones from that group that went in pit early. So throwing them onto like an alternative strategy from the main group. during that.
Oh.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, Kyle Larson loses a spot on the restart that was afterwards due to a wheel spin and getting caught up on the shift.
Yeah, it was, they talked about it, because I went back and watched the, like, actual broadcast of the 500 afterwards, and they were talking about it there. That is, like, the one thing Kyle did not, well, one of the things Kyle did not have practice with before is doing restarts, you know. And so, you know, slight mistake there, but obviously not race-ending. Still recovers from that. And then, obviously, lots of passing on the restarts. We had Colton Herta, who went really low on the track to pass Alex Palou. Oh
my gosh, it scared the heck out of everybody in the crowd.
Yeah.
They show it on the TV, if you like, because they show it, I show everything on the TV. And all you hear is everyone go, ah! And like point and scream. And it's like, oh my goodness. Everyone's giving me a heart attack every time someone got too close. It was like everyone just screams or gasps really loud. And yeah. It's like, whoa, people.
But Colton Herta was on a move after that restart. He made up multiple positions in the first few laps after that restart. Kind of just getting into the flow of things. Not that that green flag lasted very long.
No.
I was going to say, obviously, on the flip side of Colton Herta doing very well, we had drivers who kind of fell back in that time period. Ryan Hunter-Reay was one of those who dropped back quite a bit. He started 12th, and he was down to, I want to say, at least P18 in, like, the first 20 laps. So dropped several spots there. And then
this made me so sad when I heard, when I saw it.
Yeah.
I don't. So
our next incident.
Our next incident out of, I don't know how many we had. Too many. Catherine Legg is one of the only females who races in the Indy 500. It's the only race she does throughout the year. So all of her preparation from, like, basically the last 500 to the next 500, she just prepares for the 500 and just, like, does the things she needs to do. And so she's one of the only girls that does it. There's been several in the past, but right now she's, like, the only one that does it. And she's absolutely amazing. She has this really strong, like, passion just to have, you know, just telling girls, like, you do what you want to do. If that means you want to race motor cars, you do it. You be a girl. You tell those boys, like, it's not just a girl's, it's not just a guy's sport. And so she's very much, like, here to inspire females, and she honestly inspires me so much. She's very much just, like, has a lot of passion for the things that she does, and she doesn't let things like her being the only girl in the sport or different things like that, or, you know, whatever comes her way, she doesn't let that bother her, and she just does it. And so I was really excited to watch her in, like, being there in person at the first 500. Seeing her at practice made me so happy, and I was just like, oh, I'm so excited. But with only a few laps, I don't even know how many laps in, we weren't very far in, she ended up having an engine problem. I think it ended up, like, smoke coming out of the back of her car, and they sent her to pit lane, or she made it all the way to pit lane, but it caused a caution just because she was driving slower than the rest of everybody else. So we had another yellow flag, and they ended up looking at it, and she ended up retiring from the 500. One thing I remember her saying is if she knew her race was going to be that short, she would have pushed a little bit harder. Because you never know how your race is going to be. And so they're always like, well, I don't want to push too hard in the beginning. So then at the end, I can't push that hard. So she was kind of just saving that for the end. And she's like, well, if I only knew, I would have pushed harder. But she still had a really good race for what she did. I'm really proud of her for, one, being the only girl and being willing to be in the 500, because it's not an easy race. So that was one thing. But I was like, yeah, I love her so much. She's a huge inspiration. I love females who, I think, like, same with Elba. Her and Elba are like my two favorite people. They just go and they are here to inspire females to just be themselves and to not care what the rest of the world thinks about them. And I feel like we all need that message, especially as women who, you know, social media has said so much about us that we just need to be ourselves. And so I feel like she does a really good job at that. That was a very long story, but I felt like it was needed.
Yeah. Obviously there, I was there for quite some time and got to see a lot, but for me, it was so special to see like Catherine with, there are so many little girls that like came up to her and just like were so enamored by her and what she was doing and just loved being around her.
She also had one of the coolest cars ever. It was a pink car and her sponsor was Elf, the makeup company. So like, go her. Anyways.
Yeah.
She's amazing. Mm-hmm. I never actually got to meet her, but I saw her. But I never got to, like, meet her. But
it's yeah. Okay. During, well, at the end of that end of that caution, you had all of those that did not pit on that earlier, with that earlier group come into the pits. During that pit stop, Kyle Kirkwood lost, like, 12 to 14 spots. Had a little bit of trouble there. But as we went back to green, we had Stingray Rob lead the field back to the to green on the restart.
Oh my gosh.
Not something I was expecting. We love Stingray, you know, local Idaho boy.
Woo woo! At home. I love him so much. The crowd was just in like cheering him on, even if they weren't Stingray Rob fans. It was the fact that Stingray Rob was leading the 500,
and it was like unexpected.
No one expected it. I didn't expect it. I cheered it on. I was like, oh yeah,
yeah. Like, you know, obviously didn't last a super long time, but the fact that he was in the lead at all,
two laps is what it lasted.
Yeah.
And then Daly passed him. And I also wasn't expecting Connor Daly there.
Yeah.
Daly led a good portion of the 500.
Yeah.
And everyone was cheering for Connor Daly because I think, like, everybody's Connor Daly fans, it seemed like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, being in Indianapolis and having, you know, the hometown.
His hometown.
Hometown boy.
From Noblesville, Indiana.
Yeah. Which is, like, not far from, like, downtown Indianapolis at all.
I think it's, like, an hour. Well, hello there, honey.
Don't mind the cat.
She just walks across the camera like there's nothing there.
Yeah.
Normally we're together recording this, but we're at two different spots. So, I got to see honey.
But, yeah, with the start, obviously, again, lots of passing. You had four wide going into turn one.
I thought someone was going to crash.
Well, that's the thing. Somebody did crash.
I just had to say that. Linus Lundqvist hit the wall.
Yeah, so he was on the inside.
Number four.
Inside going into turn one with, like, three other people on the outside of him. And just ends up as the others pass, getting kind of sideways and going into the wall, bringing out what caution number four. And we are only 28 laps in. At that point, there had been more laps under caution than green flag running, I'm pretty sure.
That, and there was more. They haven't had a turn one incident since 2017. They haven't had this many cautions ever in an Indy car, in an Indy 500 race. So it's crazy.
Yeah, and that few laps to have four cautions was kind of like, kind of crazy. But then going into the next restart, we have Connor Daly leading. But it's passed in turn one by Scott McLaughlin and Rinus VK, who really said, we're not waiting around back here. We're going to go ahead and get past you. As they almost went like three, well, I say almost, they went three wide into turn one. Well, actually not even into turn one, before turn one, down the main straight. And Scott McLaughlin got real low, like almost in the wall by the pits. A little bit closer than, I was like, oh.
Closer than anyone wanted, because everyone started screaming again.
Yeah. And even the commentators were like, I don't know how he found space there. Like, but he went for it.
The amount of times people almost gave me like 50 heart attacks because of all the screaming that they gave. It's crazy. Yep. Also, sorry, I lost my spot in our notes that we have.
I was like, I had to take so many notes or I would not remember.
I know. Too many things. Like, watching it, you're like, oh, it didn't really seem like that many things have happened. But, like, looking at the notes that you took afterwards, I was like, oh, a lot of things happened that I kind of forgot about because I was too focused on 50 other things.
Yeah.
Pato passes Will Power and comes on the radio and says, we are so slow.
I don't know if that happened, like, because obviously sometimes they play radio clips and they're like not actually delayed in real time. But I just found it so funny because, like, you know, they show this pass, like, as I went back and rewatched it, they show this pass, you know, Pato passing Power. And then they play Pato's radio of him going, being like, we are so slow. Like,
well, they did it at their race, too. They were like, Pato just came on the radio and said we were so slow as he passes Will Power. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
Huh? But Connor Daly apparently thought or didn't like that he got passed from other people and goes back to leading the race. I think Connor Daly led the second most laps in the race. I think it was first Scott McLaughlin and then Connor Daly. Yeah. So go Connor Daly.
Mm-hmm.
Colton Herta had a very late move into turn one on Joseph Newgarden. And then shortly after, of course, you had like the first caution brought some people in. So you had the early pit stop group starting to make their pit stops again. And then, again, you'll never guess what happened. Another caution. This time.
Another engine. Those Honda engines, you know.
We love the Honda engines. But this time, I screamed like there was no tomorrow on this one because it, once again, it happened right before us.
In turn
one. But I love this driver. In turn one. But I love this driver. And I was like, no! Felix Rosenquist had another engine problem and had to stop on the side of the track. But he was like spinning and everything. And it just made me really sad because I was like, no, Felix.
Yeah.
It made me very so sad, sad
to see Felix.
Because he was doing so
and
good.
And his race early because of an engine problem. Yeah. Like, to have so many engine problems. Like, this is lap 56. We're, like, barely over a quarter of the way into the race. And there's already been, like, 3 engine problems. Kind of sad.
Yeah. It was very sad.
Well, I guess it was funny because they were like, you know, oh, another Honda engine. And then they go to like their, you know, oh, and don't forget that the like aerial coverage of the sport is brought to you by Honda.
Well, that's funny.
So, you know.
And then under the caution, you had the other, that was a hair on my hand and it scared me. I thought it was a bug. You had some other people pit on.
Basically, all those who were on that primary pit, I call it the primary pit. That's what they called it too. The primary pit strategy. So
the main strategy. The
main group.
Or like everybody else was.
Few that had like pit really early on.
So they ended up hitting, and Rossi, our boy Rossi, love him, gained several spots in the pits and led those in the, led them out of the pit lane. But then once the race restarts, he ended up losing a lot of that and fell back.
I think he knew that it was more important to stay in the race than to be leading the race at that moment.
Yeah, because, like, there was just, if he would have fought, I feel like he would have crashed.
Like, there were so many people trying to get, like, up there, and he was just like,
he's like, nah.
Go ahead.
Y'all go ahead.
You go ahead and pass. I don't need to be up there right now.
Yeah. Sadly, it was not a pit stop for Pato, and he ended up losing a good, like, 5 or 6 spots in the pits.
He lost so, like, when he came out, I was like,
she lost all
the, like, they all start coming out, and I was like, where's Pato?
She literally turns to me and goes, I give up. I was like, oh my goodness. Spots. She got so mad. I was like, the race is, like, not even halfway. It'll be fine.
Yeah. But yeah, we talked about kind of that, you know, restart of the race. Again, 3 wide, turn 1. Scott McLaughlin ends up taking the lead. As Rossi just kind of says, go ahead. I don't need it right now. But shortly after that, we get the, you know, the penalty for Rinus VK because he got an unsafe release during that pit stop. And so he had to fall back to the very back of the race and had to let everybody else go past. So not ideal for VK. And then, sorry, I'm like losing my spot. I gotta find where I'm at. I skipped. No, there we go. We're good. I'm where I'm at. I didn't skip anything. So
you froze. Wait, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. What did you just say? You froze on my end. I don't know how. Like, I don't know, but you froze, and I just want to know what you just talked about.
I was talking about the penalty for the unsafe release for VK.
Okay, now we're on the same page. I was like, I just see you sitting there, and I don't know if I'm supposed to say anything, so I just sat there. Because you froze. My Wi-Fi
and
is
then,
so bad.
Obviously, it would not be, you know, a race without another incident in turn 1. This time, it was Colton Herta, who up to this point had looked so good. And you know, just kind of loses it and ends up hitting into the wall. Obviously, he did not know at the time that it was only damage to the front wing and probably could have made it back to the, like, if he had been restarted, if they had come around, restarted his car, probably could have made it back to the pits, had them change the front wing, and carried on. But he got out of the car. And so, you know, they have to get his car loaded up and moved. And then, you know, not soon after, they have him come back out and get going again. But at that point, he's now like 16 laps down. But, you know, we'll talk about that later. Because there's stuff that happens during that caution.
My internet is so bad.
I know. I'm like, okay. Where's Soraya?
I don't know what's going on. I don't know what you just said, but I'm assuming you didn't talk about Kurtwood hitting Ilott. Did you?
I did not.
Okay.
I'll let you talk about it.
I'm like, just like, I don't know what's going on. I'm just going to sit here until I feel like she's done talking. Oh my goodness, my Wi-Fi is so bad right now. My apartment complex is having a lot of issues with Wi-Fi and power today. Anyways, Kirkwood ends up hitting Ilott, who goes into Carpenter's pit stop as they're pitting. So then Carpenter has to just sit there and wait in the middle of the pit road. I was like, whoa. Because like all they said was caution in the pit lane. Because they didn't have the cameras on, and I was like, what is going on? And then they showed it, and so Kirkwood hit Ilott, and Ilott just passed his pit stop, or pit area, into Carpenter's, and so then Carpenter was behind Ilott, and so he just had to sit there and wait until Ilott's crew came and pushed his car back so that he could go in pit. And of course, because Kirkwood hit Ilott, he got a drive-through penalty.
Yeah. Which...
Watching did you it, talk about Herta's getting coming out?
Yeah, I kind of did talk about the newing that okay. coming out. But watching the whole Kirkwood stuff, again, after the fact, even the commentators were like, well, if I was the team, like, I would totally, like, fight against that penalty because Ilott was in the fast lane and, like, never moved into the transition lane before going to his pits. And so, like, Kirkwood didn't really know that he was, like, moving out, like, going to go into the pits. But Hinch brought up a good point. He's like, well, whenever there's contact from behind, the person from behind, no matter, like, they're pretty much going to get the penalty. Like, doesn't matter if, you know, Ilott didn't move over. Like, Kirkwood is the one that hit him, so... Ultimately, it's Kirkwood's fault. So. After the restart, you know, I feel like with every restart, there's always lots of passing, lots of craziness that happens on the restarts. But after we kind of get going again, Pato has a massive double save. Like, even the commentators were like, I don't know how he kept that out of the wall. Like,
Sherelle, during this time, screams, grabs a hold of my arm and goes, no! I was like, I don't even know what to do.
It's like showing it on the screen because, like, he gets, like, you know... Like, hits the grass a little bit and just, you know, manages to save it. Almost goes into the wall, manages to save it, like, sliding all over the place. And I was like, oh no, oh no, oh no. Please, Pato. Like,
she reacted perfect for both of us. So I just sat there and was like, okay.
I mean, they call him Fast Hands for a reason. Like, the fact that he saved that. Incredible save. Like, it was crazy watching. On to, you know, continuing in the race, we got a new leader shortly after lap 100. So, like, you know, a little past halfway, Joseph Newgarden takes the lead for the first time. And I think at that time, it's like the fourth different leader we've had. But pretty much like not super long after that, we have another turn one incident. Wait, maybe this one wasn't turn one.
This one wasn't turn one. This, I think,
this was the one that was not turn one.
This is turn three.
Yeah. I was like, all of them but one were turn one.
Yeah.
But this was the one that was not.
Yeah. So Hunter Ray goes low and gets squeezed by Dixon and spins through the grass. Luckily, I think he kept it. They both stayed.
Well, Hunter Ray ended up with a broken steering rod.
Oh, yeah. He made it back to the pits, and they were like, yeah. Oh, we think we can fix it. And then they were like, no, there's too much. And so he ended up getting out of the car.
Yeah. But there was a caution. Was able to make it back to the pits. But they brought up quite a bit of grass and dirt and stuff onto the track. So they did sit and clean the track. And then, under that caution, Pato decides he's going to switch pit strategies and joins all of those that had been on that early kind of pit schedule. And I was like, what did they just do? But it's okay. But I was like, wait a minute. Why are they kidding?
Okay in the moment.
Yeah, it didn't feel okay in the moment. But it's so hard for us because, like, we don't have all the information they have in the pits. And, like, you know, they are sitting there working on strategy. Like, they've got it worked out. But it's hard for us to see at the time that they have it worked out.
Anytime anything, and I literally mean anything, went wrong with Pato or Pato did something different than the lead group, I think Sherelle had a mini heart attack every time. It was crazy.
It was so hard watching, like, how many times he, like, would fall back and then make his way back up. And then fall back and make his way back up. And I was like,
that's the point. Everyone did that. Everyone fell back and then made
spots. But not to the extent Pato did. Like, it wasn't like, oh, he fell back because he pit. It was like, oh, he got past a bunch on the restart and then had to fight his way back up. I don't feel like anybody to the extent of Pato, like, okay, there's a few others, but like those leading the race, not to the extent Pato did.
Well, it's because they were leading. They don't have the same issue, but I feel like a lot of the people in the midfield had the same issue. You know, they'd get passed on the restart and have to make their way back or whatever. I feel like that's just a common midfield issue on ovals.
Well, yeah, to an extent, but like, I definitely feel like watching Pato had the worst of it. Because, like, they wouldn't fall as far back as he did. But it's okay. We're good. Obviously, we're good.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that.
And, yeah. So, going back to green flag running for, I don't know, what, how many times now?
This is too many
cautions to, you know, keep track of.
I think this
Joseph leads the field, but is quickly passed by Scott McLaughlin, who says, yeah, I'm not giving up this easily. Yeah. And then this was a turn one incident on that first lap, and I saw it and was like, oh no. Because of where he was when it happened. Marco Andretti, who happened to be, like, right next to Pato, got very loose and sat and he would get loose and kind of save it and then get it was so scary to watch. Tried to save it, was not able to, ended up in the wall. And I was so afraid he was going to take Pato out.
Once again, she screams and grabs a hold of me.
Okay, but that one, I feel like we all kind of got nervous. You got nervous too because he was by Christian Lingard.
He was by Christian Lingard. But not as closely as to Pato.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
But I didn't scream. I kind of just more of just like, no!
I didn't scream either. I don't really scream.
You scream. You kind of, not as loud as everybody else around, but you kind of were, you were like,
you kind of made, yeah. It was like a loud gasp. Cover my mouth,
put your head down.
And being oh no. It's not like I a think full you scream. No, it's more like still a gasp.
It was still loud. I think it was so funny. I had people next to me, and they sat there the whole race and were just like, nothing. Occasionally we're like, woo! And then I had the people below me and behind me and Sherelle next to me that were all screaming. And so it was it was just interesting to see how everybody's reactions, because you just had them and they were kind of just like, woo! When something good would happen, but then they were just mostly silent. And then you had everybody else around me who would make a bunch of noise. And so it was just interesting to see everybody's different reactions to different things that happened throughout the race.
Well, I mean, the people right in front of us left pretty early on.
They left as soon as, who was it? They left as soon as Ferrucci, no, Blomqvist, Ericsson, and Fittipaldi. They crashed and they all left.
Well, I mean, they were there a few more laps after that, but it was pretty early, early on.
Maybe it was,
I can't, because they stayed for a few laps, but definitely by, lap 30, they were out of there.
I think it might have been after Colt or Catherine Legg, because she was the next one, but they didn't.
I don't even remember at this point, but they were there, gone real early.
Yeah. They were like, nope, we're done.
Yeah. And then, obviously, another restart. At this point, Pato's 17, 18th. But starts making up places and moving through the field. Lap 131, we get into more. I feel like we didn't have a ton of actual green flag pit stops. So many of them happened during the caution periods. So at lap 131, we finally have people pitting under the green flag. So it's those on the primary strategy, as we call it. So Joseph, Scott, McLaughlin, Rossi, and after these pits is when there is a massive fight for the lead, and they were fighting hard. So it was between, you had Joseph, Scott, McLaughlin, Rossi, Pillow, and they were fighting hard for that lead of those on their strategy, basically. And then right behind them, you had Ferrucci and Rasmussen and Canepino all fighting for the next kind of few spots. A lot of fighting going on at this point in the race. And even the commentators were they're acting we're, 10 to go. And we still have another 70 laps. And as they're all fighting, well, I guess another thing happens during that kind of pit group. Kyle Larson makes his first pissed up under a green flag and ends up getting a penalty for speeding in the pit lane, which was so sad because up to this point, Kyle was doing so well. At one point had been, like, you know, led a few laps. Like, he had done good. And so to get that penalty, he got a drive-through penalty for speeding the pit lane. And obviously that took him back quite a bit. I'm trying to decide if you can't hear me or you're just not saying anything.
I don't know what's going on. Oh my goodness. I heard every couple words, and so I was just like, yep. Solid. I have no idea what's going on.
And this is why we normally record at my apartment.
You know, if I didn't have, like, a bunch of homework, I'd be over there. But I have so much homework that I was like, I just need to record. And I knew if I would have come over there, I would have just not done anything. So, because I know myself. I know us. Mm-hmm. So I had to make that executive decision. But now it means that I don't know what's going on.
Well, we're talking about, well, I just talked about Larson speeding in the pit lane, getting a penalty. And then moving on to, so those on that, like, alternate strategy kind of start pitting around lap 138. And this is where the race changed for not only, well, I say me, but really it changed for, like, Pato and Dixon. And my outlook on the race got a whole lot better. Because I believe Soraya knows what happens here.
Are you on the final crash? Is that where you are?
No.
No? Where are you? I don't know where you are.
We're talking about Pato's pit stop on lap 138. And what happens during that pit stop?
Pato leads the race. That's what happens.
I mean, kind of.
The thing is, it's like, it's so confusing when you're watching it. And if, like, I had to pull out the app and I was like, wait a second, who's in front? Because you have one group ahead, but then the leader is in the middle of the group. So you have, like, a group, the leader, and then the people behind the leader. And so I was very confused. I this time, like, Scott McLaughlin was leading or whoever was in the front. And then I was like, wait, they are saying Pato is leading. So I had to, like, pull out the app and, like, look at it. I was very confused because of just the way the pits and everything ended up being.
That was my thing. Cause I had to be like, wait, Soraya. Cause so they had all, like, that earlier group had all pit. They're all fighting for the lead. And you had the, like, other group still out in front of them. So you had, like, Stingray Rob, Connor Daly, Scott Dixon, Pato, all kind of out in front of them still. And then Pato goes to pit, and he comes out. And I was like, that other group hasn't come by yet. But then on the timing screen, it showed him as, like, ninth. And I was like, but, and, like, after, it showed him behind that group. And I was like, I don't think that's right. I'd be like, Soraya. I was like, Soraya, he just pit, right? And he was out in front of them, right?
That's like when I pull, I was like, I pull it out of the app because the app can sometimes is a lot quicker. And I was like, so, no. And that's when we were like, all discovered.
Yeah. Like, so he came out in front of that group. I guess technically wasn't leading the race yet because there were still people who hadn't pit yet in front of him. But those people don't pit for a few more laps. They end up pitting when the last caution of the race happens. As Will Power has a major crash in turn one.
I was so scared.
The sound of it sitting there in turn one Like, it sounded like it multiple people were involved. And, like, the amount of, like, dust and stuff that flew up in the air and, like, debris. And I was like, how many drivers just got involved in this? And then when everybody drove by and, like, things kind of settled and just to see Will, I was like, I don't know how more people were not involved in that. Because it looked so crazy scary watching it. Yeah.
Everyone was like, I mean, everyone gasped about every little thing, but everyone, like, it was a scary moment because, like, not only, like, especially I feel like if you were right there, because, like, he hit the wall right in front of the stands, and it was just, like, the amount of force that he hit it with and, like, the noise that came afterwards, I was like, he better walk out. Like, I know he was fine. Like, it was like, it wasn't like super bad, but I was like, he needs to walk out of that car and not have like an injury. Like, it was scary.
Yeah. It's so hard seeing, like, I can only imagine what it is like for family members watching the crashes.
I'm sure because it's hard to
tell in the moment how big it is.
Yeah.
Like, it just, like, it happens and it looks big. You're like, oh my goodness, what just happened? And so, like, the relief of seeing them get out and, like, knowing they're okay is crazy.
Yeah, I can only imagine how the families feel. Yeah. I think I was texting my sister during the race, and I was like, the amount of crashes that have happened in front of me is so crazy, and it's so sad to, like, just have it happen right in front of you, because you're like, you see everything from the moment they hit the wall to the moment they get out of the car. And it's just like, it's kind of heartbreaking, especially with Will's. I was like, he needs to be okay.
Yeah. So obviously under that caution, those few that were like up technically leading the race, cause they hadn't pit yet, end up pitting. So like Connor Daly, Stingray Rob, they pit. And that means Dixon is now, like, officially leading the race at the restart. And right behind him is Pato and Rossi. And as, you know, obviously we love all the drivers, but we still have our favorites. And as Arrow McLaren fans, to see those two up front, I think that is the point where our death grip on each other's hands started, and it continued for, like, the whole end of the race. How, like, stressed we were and, like, nervous we were going into those last, like... So that happened on lap 147. So the last 53 laps, we were death gripping each other. So yeah, going into, so after the restart, they go three wide into turn one, and Rossi and Pato both end up passing Dixon, Rossi taking the lead of the race, and, oh, just, we were both so excited. The screams that we were screaming. At this point, both of us were screaming.
We're so close to the end. How could you not, though?
Yeah. But there was also some other stuff that happened on the restart. You had Sato and Kirkwood going, like, wheel to wheel, very close to each other. Another one of those, you're like, please just make it through cleanly because we don't need any more cautions.
I love your notes. That it says Sato and Kirkwood go wheel to race.
Yeah, you know, I was kind of distracted, like, trying to type this out as I'm, like, still trying to watch, and then I had my brothers and my niece and nephew here, and there was a lot going on, and I was like, just be quiet. So
You also said patio.
That was probably autocorrect. because, you know.
I love reading the notes. They're making me laugh.
You know, autocorrect. We are trying to type a lot. At this point, we've, you know, 150 laps in, lots of notes. So, yes. Pato passes for the lead. And, oh my goodness, I was so excited. And then, basically at this point, Pato and Rossi just swap positions every lap. They take turns being in front and leading, and then going back and running second. And to me, it looked pretty purposeful, but commentators were like, oh no, it's not, like, they're not doing
the thing
it.
Is
it was we're not like, saving fuel.
It was so, like, nonchalant, like, Pato would go, and then, like, Rossi would just stay behind him, and then the next
move
lap...
move over a little bit, and the next would...
Like, Pato would move over.
Yeah.
Like, normally, if it's not, like, meaningful, Pato would stay. But no, Pato would move over, and
yeah,
Rossi would go ahead.
Over.
And then
like
the
me.
Lap would go... And Rossi would move over and Pato. So, like, it seemed like it was very, like, intentional. Like, they were trying to save fuel, make it to the end, be it so, like, the end, it was either Rossi or Pato that it was going to win. Like, that's what it looked like.
Yeah. Well, and the thing was, like, commentators were like, they're not saving fuel. Like, they were pushing hard. And, yeah, at this point, they were pushing. Like, we're seeing, like, faster lap times than we had for most of the race. Like, they were pushing, but at the same time it still helps the other one to, like, swap positions. Like, you're still gonna save more fuel than if you weren't running behind them. I don't know, so whether they were doing it to help each other out or not, still, like, just, like, it looked very, like, it was just, like, a very seamless, like, pass on each other, like, and it was lap after lap they did it. Like, and it was always, like, going into turn one, like, a little before turn one on the main straight. Like, it looked like it was on purpose to me. And watching it was just beautiful. Soraya and I were like, yes, look at them. Well, and it was funny because that was the commentators watching it back. The commentators there at the race were like, these two are helping each other out. So
yeah, at the race, they were very much like, who knows? Team knows.
Yeah.
We don't know.
And then lap 179 is the start of the last sequence of pit stops. You have Rossi come in first. And at this point, you know, Pato and Dixon are still out there. Dixon ends up passing Pato for the lead. Or that's supposed to say Rossi pit on 170. I don't know. They pit, I think it was actually, he pit 170. And then Dixon and Pato were like 173. At this point, Joseph and Steph, who was behind those kind of lead cars, he's already pit. Well, that was fun.
I'm back.
It kicked me out.
It kicked me out too.
That was so much fun. I was like, please tell me it didn't delete all of that. Guys, technology sometimes is the worst.
I'm back. Don't worry, guys. You didn't lose me. Or Sherelle. Oh.
as I was saying, at this point, Joseph, Alex, like, they've all pit. So now they're fighting for the lead as Dixon and Pato come in to pit. They end up, so Joseph passes, so I guess in the pit sequence, Joseph comes out in front of Rossi, but then Rossi passes back for the lead, right in, like, right as Dixon and Pato are coming out of the pits. So Dixon and Pato are technically, like, in front of them as that happens, but obviously they're not fully up to speed at this point. They end up getting past. But really at this point, it's like a all-out battle for first place between Dixon, Newgarden, Rossi, Award. Like, they are all, between there and, like, the last few laps, the amount of lead changes that happened between the four of them, they switched positions, like, every few laps. Every few laps, they were, like, going back and forth. Up until about lap 7. Like, 7 to go. So lap 193 or whatever. Up until that point, it was kind of between all four of them. With 7 to go, at this point, both Newgarden and Award have passed Dixon and Rossi and are kind of out there in front. And this is where it gets, well, kind of, there's a lot going on these last few laps. But back in 5th, 6th, Plo passes Kirkwood, takes 5th position. That kind of stays for the end of the race. So, 7 to go, Joseph passes Pato. 5 to go, Pato passes Joseph. Joseph passes Pato again with 4 to go. And at that point, Joseph's kind of just out in front. In the beginning, like, very beginning of the last lap, Pato passes for the lead. And oh my goodness, Soraya, the two of us. I'm pretty sure, like, the loudest we've screamed the whole race. Like, it was not little screams. It was, like, full-on screaming. I thought I was going to lose my voice after the race, mainly from this moment. We were so excited. Soraya, you go now. You can tell them what happens.
So after Pato takes the lead, he gets around turn 1 safely. Gets around turn 2 safely.
We're like,
turn 3 comes along. And Joseph Newgarden gets around Pato. And Joseph Newgarden won the Indy 500 by 0.3174 seconds to Pato. You see us go from straight up jumping up and down, cheering as loud as we possibly can, to both of us just sit down, head in our hands, absolutely devastated, defeated, practically in tears. And we were just absolutely crushed. It was just,
okay,
that was it.
It took me a moment to realize this part, though, because it didn't happen in turn 3 or turn 4, but on the straight, like, practically at the finish line.
Dixon passes Rossi and gets
third place.
Yeah. I saw that happen.
I did not.
Because you're, I, like, wait, what?
Was like, and afterwards when they said Dixon got third, I was like, wait, what? He was in fourth. Yeah, because it happened, like,
right at the finish line.
Yeah. But all top, like, the whole top group was all very close to each other. Like, they were not far behind. Crazy end to the race.
the amount of people that came up to us. So we decided, we knew that getting out of there was going to be pain in the butt. This is kind of jumping ahead, but it kind of has to do with like us screaming our heads off. So we just sat there, we waited, we watched the celebration, we watched Joseph do his thing, you know, get the reef, drink the milk, yada, 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 go around with his family in the convertible, and like the fans are cheering. We saw that happen and we were just sitting there. And this old man walks up to us from behind us and goes, "You guys were absolutely amazing to watch. I loved it." And we're like, "Thank you." And then as we continue just sitting there, and another guy goes and says basically the same thing. So everyone behind us loved us cheering for Pato.
Like, we were like jumping up and down on the grandstand, like, yeah, screaming our heads off.
Screaming our heads off.
Like, we were not, like,
we were nonchalant. We were not very nonchalant about it. We were louder than anybody else. Probably his biggest fans in that whole race.
Pretty sure. But I thought it was funny because, like, we also had, like, we had the people being like, "We love watching you." And then we also had another person come up and they're like, "I'm so sorry." Yeah. He knew we were just devastated. Nobody was questioning who we were a fan of. Like, everybody knew.
I mean, it's not like we were dressed head to toe in Pato gear either. Like, I kid you not, Pato hat, Pato jersey, Pato sweatpants. I had my Chacos on, but you had Pato shoes on that we made.
I had Pato shoes on. I had my little duck earrings.
Duck earrings, yeah. We had Pato bracelets on. Like, we were Patoed out.
So sad. And what made it even worse was when they showed Pato's, like, reaction. And I think we were both practically in tears. And every time I see pictures of it, or when I rewatched it, or I even think about it, I want to cry. Because the look of defeat, like, he kept his helmet on for a good while after. Because you could tell, like, he was not ready to take that thing off. But getting out of the car, he's, like, half out of it, and he just, like, has his hands on the
aero screen.
Yeah, aero screen, head in on his hands, like, just looks defeated as his, like, you know, crew is coming up to him and, like, putting their hands on his back and be like, "It's okay."
Zach Brown came up to him and talked for a while with him.
Yeah. Everybody was out there hugging him, but still. And then he goes up to their, you know, pit stand. Same thing. Just hands down, like, head on hands. Like, it just looks so sad. And then afterwards, as they show him with his helmet off, and you can see he's been crying. And, like, as they, you know, ask him questions, like, is one thing I love about Pato is that he is always so, like, expressive and, like, just full of life. And, but watching him in that moment is not the Pato we normally see. And, you know, he's like, "I'm one that, you know, wears my heart on my sleeve." Like, everybody knows, like, this is devastating for me to come so close, so many years in a row, and to be right there and have it, you know, two turns. Like, we're so close to getting that win. And he's like, "Yes, I'm glad I finished where, you know, because last year, a few laps to go, was out." But, you know, sometimes I feel like for them, it hurts more coming in second than crashing out in the beginning and not finishing the race. But just kind of getting, like, down to the numbers of the race, because there's kind of a lot of, like, big things. So Penske took their 20th 500 win as a team. It was the first back-to-back 500 champion we've had in 22 years. So the last time that happened was, like, 2001, 2002, as when Helio Castroneves did it. Of course, with the Joseph win, it means Joseph going back into the grandstands And that was a, okay, the first jump over the fence, that was a clean jump. We were both like, oh. And I don't think we ever watched him jump back over until I watched the, you know, replay of it. The jump back over, getting out of the stands, is not so clean. I was like, oh. He is falling. So. But this race had the most leaders they've had in a 500. They had 16 different leaders. So they had Scott McLaughlin, Stingray Robb, Connor Daly, Pato, Rinus VK, Christian Lundgaard, Joseph Newgarden, Alexander Rossi, Santino Ferrucci, Scott Dixon, Alex Palou, Kyle Kirkwood, Callum Ilott, Ed Carpenter, Kyle Larson, and Kiffin Simpson. All 16 of those drivers led at one point during the race. They also had 48 lead changes during the race. They had 8 different caution periods, none in the last 46 laps, which is a big change compared to last year, where their first caution didn't even happen till like after 100 laps in. And they had multiple cautions at the very end of the race. So the biggest mover was Connor Daly, who moved up 19 spots. He started 29th and ended 10th. There was 46 laps under caution, 649 total passes. And Sarai, would you like to share who had the fastest lap?
Christian Lundgaard! He had the fastest lap of 226.373?
Yes.
Do I have that memorized? Maybe.
And maybe that was on lap 175.
Yup.
Scott in that race. It's like your happiest moment.
Okay, Scott, I was happy the moment he was leading, and I was like, yeah, I knew I wasn't gonna stay, but I was happy he was leading.
He led.
And then I was happy when I found out he got the fastest lap.
Yeah. Scott McLaughlin led the most laps during the race. He led a total of 66 laps. 6 different drivers led the Indy 500 for their first time. So, obviously, Scott McLaughlin was one of those. Stingray Robb. I don't know all 6 of them. Let's see. Those 2.
Christian.
Kyle Larson was obviously a first time. Kiffin Simpson for a first time.
Callum Ilott.
Callum Ilott. Christian Lundgaard?
I think Christian Lundgaard. I don't think he's... There is no way he has led a lap of the race being in the back 20 every single time he's raced.
So, you know, those 6 drivers led for their first times. All 16 of the different drivers who led a lap finished the race on the lead lap. Yeah, so there's lots of changes for the lead throughout the race. I thought it was special watching like the stuff after the race. Joseph was like, you know, because they're like, oh, well, tell us about that pass and stuff. And he was like, you know, it's only possible because of Pato. Like, he is such a clean competitor, and he's like, I know I can trust him when I go to pass him, that I'm not going to end up in the wall, because it takes 2 people to make a pass, and you couldn't do that with everyone because you wouldn't get through there cleanly. So yeah. And he multiple times was like, you know, throughout the post-race press conference and the award ceremony, multiple times was like, you know, Pato is a champion. Like, he's such a good driver. And his day will come. And then Pato.
I can't hear you. Nope.
Now can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Like I said, today is full of tough technical difficulties. Padawan asked about the race. He said that the drivers were maniacs on the restarts. And so he's like, yeah. He's like, they're just maniacs. And that he has never fought so hard for a race result as he did during that race. This is going to be a difficult day. Cats jumping around is also not helping things. Okay. I think that's it for the most part for the race. More from, like, our experience. I mean, we talked about it before, but, like, being there in person, like, totally worth whatever you spend. Totally worth waiting in traffic. Like, totally worth sitting through the rain. Like, I, you know, it's just so much fun.
I don't have anything else to say.
Yeah.
Except I have homework I need to get done. That's where my mind is right now.
Yeah. Well, thank you for sitting through a longer episode, but I feel like it was worth it because there was a lot to cover. As we talked about the 500. At some point, we will get the Monaco recap out. And then we also, next week, we'll have our Detroit recap for IndyCar. So thank you so much for joining us this week. We hope we'll see you next week. This has been F1 Indie Girls. Bye.
Bye.